Hello and welcome to another episode of the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com and at _thekosh on Twitter. My name is Alex. Bernie is here.
Hello, hello.
Hello, and Mohamed is here.
Hi.
You are both moving soon. How many boxes are you surrounded by?
I've got 6 boxes behind me at the moment, more upstairs and more to come.
I've got just one big 18-yard box.
All right. Perfect. So you two are in the box. I'm in the middle. We've got the pitch covered.
Yeah, we need to. I need to hire Pogba to help me move.
You have to unlock him first.
Oh, speaking of which, Bernie, did you get locked out of your car the other day when the app went down?
What app went down?
The Tesla app went down and loads of people got locked out of their cars.
No, because I also have a key.
Yeah, it's very smart.
So I don't know how they got locked out.
I've just been thinking a little bit about that move. If we had to assemble a moving crew of footballers,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
My driver would definitely be, what's that manager from Russia that does the rally?
AVB.
AVB. So Villas-Boas would be the driver of the truck, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, get us there fast, get us there quick.
You wouldn't have Ollie at the wheel?
Not anymore.
Not so anymore. AVB driving.
AVB driving.
Akin Fenwa would lift a lot of boxes.
A lot of lifting by Akin Fenwa, correct.
Lucho would be the truck.
Well, oh, hold on. Monet, are you sure you don't want Jose to park the bus?
Yes, once we get there. Yes, yeah. He just comes in at the end to kind of seal the deal. Yeah. You know? And then I'll take like a Levy to like talk about prices and get me the best rate, potentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want Hazem Magaza because he can carry stuff on his head and in his arms,
especially appliances like fridges.
Yeah.
Oh, we'd be sponsored by what are those the chicken guys from Blackburn or whatever it is.
What are Frankies.
Yes.
Why?
I don't know. We need a sponsor on the side of the truck.
And your mind went to Frankies.
Yeah. First people I can think of.
When they made the Blackburn squad film a commercial for their own company, that was unbelievable.
Yep. I think as well I'd have Rio Ferdinand in charge of legal because he'd just get everyone to sign stuff.
Yes.
Just, you know, sign the thing.
Adama Traore for sure. He could
get into like the tight spots with the oil. To like, you know, get furniture that's stuck.
Through the door. Definitely get squeak through the door.
But you definitely need Mourinho to take over from him towards the end. Because he's not finishing anything. Like, he's going to leave the job before it's over.
That's a good point. You'd also have Eva in terms of, in case of any medical emergencies during the move.
Yes. Which player has the softest touch in football? Because you're going to have stuff that's fragile that you need to place very carefully.
Not Lukaku.
No.
It's probably Messi, I think.
Yeah. De Bruyne has a soft touch.
Cruz? Tony Cruz?
Santi's still playing.
Where?
Yeah. I don't know. He's at Al Sadd.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You need someone who's good with directions that can sit like Xavi. He can see the whole road in front of him.
Play.
Yeah, he can see the whole route.
Your captain on the pitch.
I thought you'd go Trent on the directions. Because you know he's going to get you there.
Trent's the delivery. There we go.
This is a very comprehensive team.
All I can think about is that this is going to cost me a lot of money.
Yeah, you're going to need Abramovich to bankroll your move.
There we go.
That's why I put an Akin Fenwa up front, just to soften the cost. But who's gonna manage it? Like direct this whole thing?
Arsene Wenger. Come on, he got us into a whole new stadium. Surely.
But the thing is, you're paying hourly, so you want this done as quickly as possible. So I'm going Klopp for the mania.
But Mane's point makes a lot of sense because he literally knows how to move. Like, you don't want Pochettino because he doesn't know how to move from, you know, one stadium to the next. Wenger, I can see it.
I would just trust him. Place for 25 years.
Well, Highbury to the Emirates. Come on.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like the stadium move.
And since he left, it's pretty much gone to shit. So, like, the man knows how to move.
No. It went to shit while he was there, but it's just got progressively worse.
We're gonna allow for Wenger revisionism. It's okay.
Okay, fine. Yeah. It is his month. You know, he's doing films and talks and all that. So exactly. Fair enough. All right. Well, that leads us nicely into the manager scene, because it is a scene right now. Everyone's moving. It's the proverbial merry-go-round, but Manchester United need a manager. Ole, no longer at the wheel. It's been coming. We've enjoyed it. I really wish it went on longer, but, you know, it is what it is. Bernie, have you applied for the role?
No. I think I could do it, but, you know, the pressure from social media would get to me, get into too many fights with people. I'd probably bring the game to disrepute. No, I will not be applying for the role.
It's a shame, because you're about as qualified as Michael Carrick.
Bernie, the guy who played football for 30 years. Yeah,
I've played more FM. That's what I'll say.
I like though that today Carrick brought out the suit. You know, the three piece came out today. The I'm staking my claim for this position long term suit came out.
This was the Ryan Giggs interim suits that you bring out for four games.
or the one you bring out when you go to court.
When you're a serious guy, your first game that you think you can do something, you wear the tracksuit. Like Tuchel would have told you this. You got to bring out the tracksuit.
The chav suit. I think I might have told you this before, but I always find it really funny. Like very early on, I told Caitlin that if you see a manager in a suit that isn't usually in a suit, like he's angling for a move, right, to a bigger club. And so now every time she sees a manager in a suit, she's like, is he angling for a move? I'm like, no, he wears one normally, but good shout though.
There's some exceptions to the rule, but yeah.
If you see the t-shirt come out, you know the man's pretty secure.
T-shirt means I wrote the book.
Pep knows he can wear literally anything. It's fine.
Yeah. But yeah, Carrick, I mean, he got a clean sheet in the Champions League today versus Villarreal, something that wasn't possible in the previous round.
And not only that.
Yep.
He tried everything not to.
he got a whole nearly whole game out of Van de Beek. He got a goal out of Jadon Sancho. You know, both things that Ole couldn't do.
Got a good game out of Fred.
Yeah.
Oof, I mean, that happens a lot. That's not the one you want to go with. You can go with everything else, though, but not the Fred one. Fred's pretty good.
I mean, there's what, Chelsea and Arsenal coming up next? I mean, if he wins both of those, ooh.
Sign, give him whatever you want, whatever number you want, sign it.
Well, it's not fair. If he beats, you know, if he beats Villarreal, Chelsea, and Arsenal in a row, what are you going to do?
They'll give it to Pochettino.
Pochettino is just so desperate. It hurts. Like, it's so obvious how much he wants this move. And people online, you know, United fans obviously banter and stuff, are like, oh my God, look at us. We're against you and we're pulling away a manager from Messi, Neymar, and Mbappe to come and manage you. It's like, no, mate. I truly believe he just has no confidence that he can do anything over there, and he's going to struggle under that kind of pressure. So he just wants to move back to the Premier League. It's as simple as that.
We have a question on this, so let me put it to you anyway. At Jamie Brackpool says, looking for your opinions, are United better off sticking with Carrick until the summer and getting Ten Hag, likely missing out on fourth, or bringing in a manager like Poch and putting in a fourth place bid this season? Also, is Poch even United's best option for saving the season?
So there are 6 points off fourth with a lot of games to go. And saving the season means fourth. It's not like a foregone conclusion that, like, I think it's one of those things that you have to save it from the abyss. It's not one of those things. But Pochettino is the destined one, so to say. Like, he's done the dinner with Ferguson, all that jazz. Like, they say he plays United way, all this stuff that people say. I'm saying, in the context of the social media world and the narrative, he's the manager for the narrative. The manager for the situation doesn't want to come. Who is in that? So you put that out the way, Pochettino becomes the option that you have to go for. Ten Hag will fail at Manchester United. It will not work.
Absolutely. I just think it's a little bit unfair on David Moyes to call Pochettino the destined one. At least call him the destined one 2.0.
That's because... why I said not the chosen one. He's the destined
Moyes was
one.
Chosen.
Okay, because David Moyes was the all, you know, the everything. So, yeah.
The just Ferguson dinner, man. The Ferguson dinner is crazy.
That's like the Jay-Z dinner. he just has dinner with these managers and gives them a poison chalice. It's like, all right. Go and manage United. But yeah, I don't think Zidane wants to do it. He doesn't want to come to the Premier League. His wife doesn't want to come to England, blah, blah, blah. And I don't think Zidane wants something that's too challenging, honestly. Like, I've just been reading a lot and hearing a lot about it. And it just feels like Zidane wants, let me go and speak French, either with PSG or the Spanish national team, where I have like all these ready-made players ready to go and I can just kind of move them around a little bit and tweak. But to take on a whole project like what United have, younger players, blah, 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 I don't know if he wants to do that or he has that kind of bandwidth. Yeah,
and doesn't want to.
I respect that. I honestly respect it. Like, live your life, man. He's one of the greatest players to ever play. He doesn't have to do anything. After you win 3 Champions Leagues, like, what do you have to do? I don't think he even likes football that much. I really don't.
I mean, we talked about this in the past. I would challenge that he's not just one of the best footballers ever. I think he's one of the best figures involved in football ever when you look at his entire contribution and success in the game. Like, he's a lot of the best midfielder to ever play the game, right? People put him in that kind of category. And then now he's, in a 4 or 5 year stint, was, you know, probably the best 4 or 5 year stint any manager has achieved. Like, it's insane, right? Mm-hmm. Like, his contribution to football and success from it in general is, I think, unrivaled.
Yeah. And then when you add the picture of him in the lilac shell suit with his puppies, like, you can't beat this guy.
No. He'd be smart, in my opinion. Like, the rumors about Pochettino have escalated a lot today. Everyone's briefing that he would take it. And PSG are like, sure. Like, we'll just get Zidane. I think in a sense, for the narrative, it's a win-win for everyone. The second part of the question is Pochettino the best manager other than Zidane because of the Ronaldo and Varane factor? He probably is. Does that mean he'll win anything? No. Does that mean much will change in terms of the playing style? A little bit, but not really philosophically.
So, yeah.
He is the best second choice. So, yeah, I think that's the way it has to be.
It's a really complicated thing because I actually don't think there's a lot of talk about how they can get him mid-season, and I'm actually not convinced of that. I'm not. And that's why, like, there's an article up on The Guardian right now saying that they're talking to Valverde for the interim job, with the hopes of getting Pochettino at the end of the season, which to me is massively disrespectful to Valverde. Like, if he comes in and does the interim job and does it well, it's hard to imagine them getting rid of him at the end of the season to hire Pochettino. That seems very strange. But if we assume that Pochettino is the one, is it a good move? I think it could be. There's a situation in which you look at that United squad and everyone thinks of Pochettino as like the pressing guy. But for the last 2 years at Spurs, that didn't happen. It hasn't happened at PSG. And there are plenty of reasons for that, mostly personnel-based. But there's a version of the United squad that could do that work. You know, the Sancho, Greenwood, the young guys. There's a version of that squad that could be successful with his methods if he can return to, like, the basics that he wanted, that made him successful in the first place. But there's also Ronaldo and Bruno and a bunch of other guys that don't necessarily fit that very well. And recruitment isn't his strong suit either. So it's really tough to know how well that would work.
I would disagree slightly in that the version of... So again, you're right in that the pressing at Tottenham did go away. And at PSG, you're not doing that because you're not asking Messi and Neymar to press anything or anybody. It's not happening. But the version of United that you're talking about is the version that was there last year. That was the one that was pressing people very high and counterattacking them very quickly, which is a Pochettino philosophy with the 4-2-3-1 with Sissoko and whoever else. Like, it's very Fred and someone else. Like, it can, the pieces that you're saying are there, but the point that you made about Ronaldo, he scores today and everyone goes, you guys are crazy. And I go, look at it for what it is. If you want to do Pochettino ball of 2015, 2016, 2017, it's not with him. It's just not. and asking everyone else to pick up the slack will kill them. But it's just not him, and I don't believe he's going to come to United and bench Ronaldo. It won't happen.
It's impossible. And you're right. Like, the fact that Kane stopped being able to press was one of the massive problems that he ran into. You give him Ronaldo, and you have that same problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think if anyone knows a lot about this, it's Ronaldo. You know, if Pochettino says press and Ronaldo says no, you know, it doesn't mean that's that, right? Like, you know, it's not the all be all. So, but I will say this about Pochettino. I think for me, the biggest thing is that United have like big players, big egos, not in a bad way, but just like big players. And I don't know, Pochettino at Spurs kind of built a team together. They grew together. And maybe, you know, that if you think about stars, you may think of Harry Kane, but he's like a very subdued kind of star. He's not asking for much. He's not doing a lot. So I just feel like when he went to PSG, I think he's struggling a little bit with the names, with the size of the squad that he has in terms of the individual players. And I'm just wondering, again, I'm not saying he can do it. I just think that will be his biggest challenge. It's not a tactic. It's not getting them to play well, blah, blah, blah. I just think it's keeping all the big players happy and kind of dealing with that squad dynamic. I don't know if he's done it before or this is going to be the first time of him trying to really do it at this level.
I think if you told me Pochettino was taking over the team literally without Ronaldo, where I can go, I can see what you want to do. You can play Cavani up front, you can play Mason up front, and they're going to press. Everyone's going to rotate. It's the way Son and Kane interchange positions, Lucas Moura a little bit. I can understand it. I can understand even the 4-2-3-1. I can understand him making McFred work. I can see it because I've seen him do this before. I've seen him use Sissoko, who I hate, and make him useful. I understand this. I've seen him with a goalkeeper who doesn't even sweep with Lloris. It makes a lot of sense piece by piece until Ronaldo, who I don't care that he scores the goals. He literally alters the way you want to play, which is why, in my opinion, Solskjaer ended up failing because he didn't follow the plan, which is the Pochettino plan. So Zidane would be the best fit because he knows how to do this with this guy. But this is the best that you can do after that.
How do you feel about Valverde?
I'd do it, but he's been out the game a long time, which always concerns me, like a Laurent Blanc situation, though he has racismo. But interim could make sense if he agrees to it. I think it could make sense, but I still think go for the guy that you want, and that guy is Pochettino. Just go for who you want. Then everything hopefully should follow, and you finish third again, and third again, and third again. So, you know.
Fair enough. Well, I mean, let's talk about the Champions League today, and let's also talk about how, you know, Mo, you mentioned like Pochettino not necessarily handling it at PSG and wanting to return to the Premier League. Tuchel did the same thing. He hadn't been in the Premier League before, but Tuchel couldn't hack it at PSG, really came to the Premier League, and it's just, well, you posted some stats earlier. It's just been ridiculous. They smashed Juventus 4-0 today with like a B team out.
Yeah, something
what
like
he's done to this team is unreal.
Something like only 301 days or something that he's been at Chelsea, something like that. And it's, you know, Champions League winners, unbelievable form, fighting for the Premier League. Playing, you know, we talked about how he's, the last couple of weeks at least, he's been doing this without Lukaku. You've got big name signings in Ziyech and Werner that aren't really that involved. You've got you know, Mount is playing in and out of the team. Like, it's not like he's relying on some big name signings and core signings. He's playing Chalaba, he's playing Loftus-Cheek, you know, stuff like James Chilwell. Like, these are not, you know, the super superstars, but he has a system where anyone can fit in and work, and that's kind of what he's been doing. And we talked today about, you know, will Lukaku come back into this team or not and just walk right back into it when he's fit, right? He just created a system that seems so well-drilled. The wing-backs are their main attacking threats in Chilwell and James, and he's doing so well with them. Thiago Silva has been, again, kind of a revelation since he joined Chelsea. I mean, we'll be honest, we've been so wrong about a couple of things. We've been wrong about Tuchel. We laughed at him when he joined. We said, this is not going to work and they're going to fall apart. We laughed at Thiago Silva joining the Premier League and him being exposed. But again, playing three at the back helps him out a lot. He's got younger, more athletic people around him in Rudiger and Chalaba. And he just sits there and kind of becomes that linchpin, that central defender that they need him to be. So fair play to Tuchel. He's doing it, again, without a lot of the new signings. Havertz plays, yeah, sometimes. But again, he's not, you know, he's not ripping it up or anything. So
I think Tuchel has a little bit of, not stylistically, but personality wise has a bit of the Van Gaal about him. I know Van Gaal is very insane, but like the idea
Tuchel's insane.
He rubs people the wrong way sometimes. We saw at the end of Dortmund, and of course PSG. It will happen at Chelsea at some point. This is dead set guarantee. But he's the type of guy that I'm not sure he actually cares about big star names. He said in an interview, it's easier to manage Lukaku and over the PSG guys because you're not just managing them, you're managing their families, their agents, and all that stuff. Even though he's not even managing Lukaku anymore because he doesn't need him. But his thing is, he has his tactics. He's a coach, right? That's what he is. He's a coach, he's not a manager. And he loves just being in a position where he can just coach. And in some sense, Chelsea is great for that because they don't let you do anything else. Like, they'll throw you out if you try and do anything else. And he's just like, cool, I'm okay with that. I want to try some weird shit. Like, you know, as long as we win, I'm good. But to throw some weird shit at Neymar and Mbappe it's not going to work. Like, we know this. And now we're seeing his system work without Lukaku, who they spent $97 million on. And honestly, they probably should not start him again unless they really, really need to. So props to him. Props to him. He's doing an absolutely great job.
I agree. I if it's not broken, don't fix it. But it's hard to imagine Lukaku not coming back in. But, you know, maybe he'll
on the bench.
Maybe he's strong
game,
enough
right?
to do that. Yeah, but like he's just back from injury or whatever. But you're right. Like he's got the confidence. And Granovskaya won, what was the award? Best
Director.
Chief Executive or something? Mm-hmm. And she thoroughly deserves it. And the difference is so clear. Like if he was trying to throw some weird shit at Mbappe or Neymar, they would just go to, you know, the director of PSG and be like, make him stop. Or
Leonardo
or whoever. Yep. Leonardo would be on their side. Whereas if they went and complained to Granovskaya, she would be like, I will sell you in 3 seconds.
Well, part of the reason why this Pochettino United thing is even a discussion is because all the rumors are, and we've known this, that he absolutely hates Leonardo.
Oh yeah,
so
everyone does.
It's very plausible, yeah. Like Leonardo is the big problem over there, and Tuchel just wanted to do his thing. Let him do his thing.
He chases out every manager. Why does he still have a job? It's so weird.
It's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Anyway, Xavi's second game in charge of Barcelona, 0-0 draw with Benfica. Benfica missed an open goal in the last second. Could have walked away from the camp.
Yeah, that would have sealed Barcelona's fate. But now, if Benfica beat Dynamo Kiev next round, Barcelona have to beat Bayern Munich, which is not happening.
No.
I'm worried. I'm actually worried about how many goals Barcelona are going to concede because Bayern Munich want to score goals. Barcelona, yes, I know they kept a couple of clean sheets now under Xavi, but they still can't defend regardless. I want to actually check, did he start with a back five? Because
live score says yes, but they get it wrong a lot.
No, but I was watching the highlights, it looked like it was a back five. So I'm like, really? Xavi coming in playing a back five? I mean, sure, it points for realism, but that's not what I would have expected.
I mean, I tell you what, there are worse ideas if you're trying to get another half season or two out of Piqué. Because, like, as a back two, he's done. He's toast.
Especially when you have Busquets in front of you.
Seriously, it's unreal. What like, I'm looking at the team, and Memphis is flattered to deceive. I'm not sure it's his fault, but it is the fact of the matter. I mean, like, what is he working with? Gavi, great little kid, but whatever, man. Like, Youssef, woo! Like, this Youssef kid, again, I don't watch Barcelona. I'm just looking at it on the surface of it. Nicolas Gonzalez, there's only so much you can do. Like, this team may actually only be Europa League quality at this point. Like, it really might just be that.
If that, yeah.
Aguero is retiring. Luke de Jong is the second striker or something like this. Like, it's rough out there, man.
I think that's totally fine. And I think, honestly, it might be better for them. Like, if you think about what he needs to do this season, is just get as many minutes into... Well, Pedri probably less so, because the kid needs to be put on bed rest. But, like, you've got Pedri and Gavi and Nico and Fatty and Dipsy and Lala and Poe. Like, they all need, like... That's the team going forward, right? So you need to kind of bed them in
Jaffe,
now.
And Jaffe's the sun. Just the sun that comes up from behind the hill. But Pedri won Golden Boy, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's been good.
For endurance, if nothing else. But they did win their first game on the weekend, 1-0 against Espanyol. Memphis penalty. But
the problem is they might drop into Europa League most likely as long as Benfica doesn't do anything crazy in the last round, but they might also not qualify for it in the league either. So you could have two seasons of Barcelona in the Europa League in a row, which would be just... it's not crazy, but it's just the speed of the downfall. The rate of the downfall is insane. You go from having, you know, to 2010, a couple of years after that, you're talked about as the best team to ever play the game. You've got the best player to ever play the game. You've got this, you've got that. And then all of a sudden, a couple of years go by and a couple of very bad decisions in the transfer market. And now you're looking at, you know, a couple of Europa League seasons. And hey, I mean, are you any better than Arsenal? I don't know, man.
I was going to say, they did it all without signing Granit Xhaka. So like,
they need the run of their lives at this point, because they're broke as shit. They can't actually afford this Europa League nonsense that could happen. They can't. Their club will just, like, the Super League push will be massive.
Well, they have no fans in the stadium anymore. The international fans aren't showing up. You know, they have a 300,000. How many people can get in that stadium? 100,000 or whatever. So like, they've got a third of that now showing up to games because it's only the locals. You don't have anyone traveling halfway across the globe to go see Barcelona anymore. And that's the problem, that a lot of their money comes from filling that stadium. And Messi did that. And that's why, you know, we talk about, oh, why did you pay Messi so much money towards the end of his career? Because at the end of the day, this is the only way to fill 60,000 people in that stadium.
Yeah, I mean, we've told the story before, but when we went to visit Camp Nou, they tried to sell us grass from the Tito Villanova era in the club shop. I mean, they were desperate then, and that was 2016. But like, you can imagine Laporta going into the changing room and just like convincing all of their players to be on Cameo so that he can take like 10% and just revenue stream.
Remember when we walked into that Camp Nou? Wasn't it Camp Nou where they had like a whole section of the tour just talking about their new stadium and the new developments they want to do and all this stuff? Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure they cannot afford that anymore. Because it was big plans, man.
It just goes to show that, like, when you talk about the big clubs in terms of, you know, global support and things like that, I really wonder, like, how big is the support for Barcelona? Because England and Spain, COVID is hitting them the exact same, but all the English stadiums are full, jam-packed all the time. Foreigners coming in or not, they're absolutely jam-packed. If you went to Manchester United today, you could fill 100,000 people. I bet you could do the same thing with Arsenal and, well, not Chelsea, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, but the problem is different clubs have different, kind of rely on different top segments of the revenue, right? Like, you looked at Arsenal that got hit the most during the pandemic, again, because our marketing is bad and we don't have that, you know, strong of a marketing team. Therefore, we rely on 60,000 people paying, you know, £50 for like a coffee at the Emirates Stadium, right? So that's kind of where we make our money. Barcelona make their money again. Yes, obviously Messi was a big one. He's not there anymore. And you've got, you know, a 100,000 stadium that is only filled a third. So either way, the problem with the team itself is that there's no goals. You just look at the team and they can tippy-tappy their way around all they want with the young kids and Frankie and all that stuff. But who's going to put the ball in the back of the net? Even Memphis is not a Even Memphis is not a striker. He's just a flair attacking player that can score some goals. But like, they literally have no goal scorers in the entire starting 11.
And Aguero, RIP. He's had to retire because of the heart thing, which is brutal. So yeah, you're right. And the other thing is, like, when you're talking about revenue sources, the TV money is the biggest thing, right? Like, the Premier League clubs could literally have no one show up to the stadium all season. If the TV money is rolling in, they're still richer than fucking everyone else by a mile, like a million miles. Then they just signed a multi-billion-dollar new deal with NBC to get the Premier League broadcast in the States, which is just going to open the gap wider between them and the rest of Europe. Like, the rest of Europe needs to find ways to, I hate the word, but they have to create their product. They have to make their product as good as the Premier
League. Their brand needs to improve.
Yeah, and we've been talking about this with Serie A for years, right? Like, cut out the racism, like, give clubs their own stadiums, like, sort your shit out.
Make the grass greener. Because it's like horrendous gray on TV.
It's like AFCON, like their stadiums and the grass. But like, even think about it, Juventus had to downsize their stadium. Remember, they built a new one and they downsized it because A, money, but B, like, they're just not going to get that many people in the stands at all. And it's wild to me, the Premier League and the Bundesliga, by the way, are the only two that literally sell out every stadium every match day.
Yeah, and then you've got La Liga that lived off the El Clasico Ronaldo versus Messi for 10 years, and now there's no plan B. You know, now what is it? Now look at the El Clasico viewing ratings and stuff, and, you know, down by half. And I can't blame people for that, but at the end of the day, your brand is weak, right? If your brand is just based on one or two players in the league, that is weak. So, no matter how many Spanish teams win the Europa League how many years in a row, that's great for the stats, but no one cares. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Which is unfortunate, but it is what it is.
Mbappe should really have a think about that. Like, is that where I want to go for the sake of my personal brand? I don't think it's a good idea.
Maybe he really cares about La Liga.
He might actually just be a fan of Real Madrid, which is really sad.
Well, he is, because isn't his granddad a huge Real Madrid fan, and that's why he wants to go play there or whatever? Everybody has some sob story.
You know who else had that same sob story?
Robbie Keane.
No, Obama.
Oh, yeah.
He told his granddad on his deathbed, I'm going to play for Real Madrid.
Yeah, and then every year, every summer, he was like, yeah, I want to play for Real Madrid, and Real Madrid was like, still not interested. Sorry. But
you can't drive that Lambo on the streets of Madrid. You just can't. It's too low to the ground.
Staying in the Champions League for a second, though. Literally for a second. Lille beat Salzburg 1-0. I don't really care about that, but Jonathan David scored another goal. So let's take a minute and talk about Canadians doing good things, because there's been a lot of that lately.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, mm-hmm. starting with the collective Canadians doing good things against Mexico in the World Cup qualifier a week and a bit ago? At work, you know, I work with a lot of Canadians who aren't really into soccer. They're into hockey and football and stuff, but they know I'm kind of the soccer guy in the office. So, you know, I got a couple of people come up to me and, hey, you know, Canada's doing something in this thing called the World Cup qualifiers. And I'm like, yes, here's the table. And they're like, oh, yeah, there's a big game, isn't it, against Mexico or something? And I'm like, yes. So, you know, it's attracting attention, definitely. And that's, again, brand-wise, it's the best way to do it. Forget about the whole, oh, we should follow soccer. No, you shouldn't. You should just do it when Canada's doing well. And that's how you get people to pay attention. Mm-hmm. So, it's getting traction. People realize that there's a World Cup here in 4 years or whatever it is that we're going to be in. It would be wonderful if we're in the one before, just to kind of warm us up to that one. And again, they're fun to watch. They play good football. It's not luck. It's not, you know, they play well. They've got Jonathan. Again, Davies helps a lot. And again, from a branding perspective, he's a Bayern Munich left back who is one of the best left backs in the world. So it all comes together really well. So it's exciting time for Canadian football.
And I think we say this a lot, but when we come back, like 2007, and we all basically got here, like what football was to watch was difficult as hell. It was freaking Charmin and KJ on like the score and if you got a game kind of thing. Now you get any game you want, and now Canada being good, because I saw the ratings list, it beat that game against Mexico, beat every sport on TV in terms of ratings in Canada. So the interest is growing. Plus, the women's national team actually set the scene and the stage, because their success, I think, held people over. But then when you add to the fact, as Martin mentioned, Kyle Larin, Jonathan David, Buchanan, Davies, of course, and a couple other good players just knocking around Europe that people are starting to notice. And remember, the World Cup, whenever it's here, because of the diversity, that's an inside joke that people don't need to know about. It's a big deal. The World Cup is a big deal here. There's no denying it. And imagine if Canada's in it. That would be absolutely wild. I don't think the world understands just how big of a deal that would be on these streets. It would be wild.
The FIFA World Cup.
It's going to be amazing. I was just looking at the rankings, which I know we take the piss out of them and they don't really mean anything, but Canada 40th, man. Like, that's not bad.
Yeah. And by the way, they are making, just speaking of rankings, FIFA is making rankings count so much because they want teams to take the international friendlies and all that bullshit that they keep sprinkling across the calendar seriously. So just to give you an example, in the African qualifiers for the World Cup, you get five winners of a group and like five runners, like something. You get, I think, 10 group winners or something, right? Then they rank you based on your FIFA ranking to then go into a pot and play each other. So Egypt, for example, ended up top of their group. Mm-hmm. But because they didn't take all the friendlies seriously and Salah never showed up and blah, blah, blah for those, so we lost them all, now we end up going into a blind draw versus the top five best African teams in the draw, which means that there's a big chance that you end up top of your group and then end up playing like a Cameroon or a Nigeria or an Ivory Coast in a one-off playoff. So FIFA's doing everything they can to make these teams take friendly seriously because they affect your rankings. So rankings are now kind of more relevant, and it's shit, but they're making it more relevant.
That's intense. I would just set up, if I was John Herdman, I'd just set up a bunch of friendlies with like absolute minnow teams. Cayman Islands, US Virgin Islands, Aruba, get in here, come on.
I believe Poland did this before, like, what? The last World Cup or something. They just played shitty teams. They were ranked like number 5 in the world or something, and they were bragging about this. I think I remember this, like, very, oh my God.
Work smart, not hard, kid.
Also to boost Lewandowski's national goal scoring rate or something.
Like yeah. But no, it is exciting. It's exciting. They're a genuinely good team, a genuinely good coach in Herbin. There are a lot of like highly rated prospects in the TFC Academy, which I think is gonna ultimately end up being a pipeline basically to the Canadian men's national team. So it's exciting.
It is. What else? Is that it for Champions League? Can we talk Premier League, or is there more Champions League?
Well, tomorrow we got City against PSG, Atleti against AC Milan, Liverpool against Porto. I always feel really sorry for Porto because Liverpool has absolutely battered them. But what do you guys think about City PSG?
Does it matter?
City will batter them for sure. I'm telling you.
What was the last
one? Certainly feels
PSG
that
won,
way.
Didn't they?
Yes. Yeah, but like very scrappily. Like against the balance of play. But
Man, I honestly, both of these teams in Europe, I can't tell you. Like, both of them can have a fantastic day and both of them can have a really bad day. Like, City, you just cannot bet on them in Europe. I don't know what happens. Like, it's against the better teams. I know they beat whoever 5-0 last time. But, like, against the better teams, you cannot bet, put all your money on City. And then PSG are just, like, so weak at the back and also relatively in midfield that it's just, like, it's not a good idea to just be so top heavy, man. Like, you've got, I don't know, you Kimpembe and stuff making these silly mistakes at the back, and you've got Navas in goal still, and I don't know, man. It's just, no, not for me. I when I watch PSG, I'm like, the only way is like a piece of magic, and you cannot rely on that.
I see City winning this game or a draw, because mostly I think City are going to take this a bit more seriously. Like, for some reason, I feel like Pep is on a mission which will only be useful in the group stages and I guess until he gets to the semi-final or something like that. But I think he'll take it seriously. I think he'll beat PSG, but it doesn't matter because PSG will ultimately qualify. So,
yep. You know.
And then Man United will get them in the second round after they qualify today.
But who will be managing who at that point?
Again, that's why I said narrative manager. Narrative is going to be Pochettino.
They should cup tie the managers.
That's a good point. You also just know that the commentators for those games are sitting at home licking their lips at the opportunity to say that this is Pochettino's dress rehearsal for the Man United job.
Oh, yeah.
Just cannot wait to repeat that 17 times across the game.
Yeah. Have you noticed that whenever
audition, Clive?
Yeah. You notice whenever it's Peter Drury, you feel like they're like he's written his notes, and you're like,
"Oh yeah,
okay." I feel like he's got it. And now I listen to him, I'm like, "All right, Peter, what you got? What you got?
Yeah,
come on.
This is scripted. This is like 8 Mile."
Yeah. But who was it him that did Mount Olympus when Manolo scored that goal?
Yeah,
it was like he couldn't. Have,
no, no, could he,
it,
couldn't.
He couldn't.
He
have.
Couldn't.
No, but it sounded didn't. That good. It sounded that What's good. It?
I'm convinced Drury goes, what if this guy scores? This is what I'll say. But if this guy scores and it's this score, what will I say?
No, I think that's fair. Like,
that was too good, man.
He'd have the player's name. He'd probably have the player's name and just put a little nickname next to them for like a highlight moment, you know, for sure. Because Mount Olympus does not just come up like that.
Yeah, no, it was spectacular stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. I mean, we can talk about Premier League for a bit, but first I just want to draw our attention to France for a second, where all manner of wild shit is happening. For a start, Dimitri Payet has had a bottle thrown at him at like 6 different grounds this season, and every Marseille game seems to get cancelled.
Who told Payet. Them that he's thirsty?
Maybe he posts a lot of thirst traps. I don't know, but
oh,
like
nice.
the last one was against Lyon, and they had to cancel the game.
I'm convinced that they're just West Ham fans who are still mad that he left. They're just throwing stuff at him.
Yeah, just like almost every week you hear a story from France of hooliganism or this or that. Like, it's, you know, props to kind of sticking to the brand. I mean, they're just doing it every week. It's not a random thing anymore. But like, so many games get canceled, big games get canceled, you know. The thing as well is it seems like there's a little bit more attention on the league now, and I don't think it's just Messi, but it just seems it's slowly growing. Like the PSG-Marseille games are kind of given a lot of attention, and I just feel over the last few years it's grown. And maybe that's because there's a little bit of a gap left by La Liga, a little bit of a gap left by Italy now. So, you know, France are trying to kind of wiggle their way in there, but it just seems there's a bit more attention on league, or maybe that's just in my world. I don't know.
No, I think that's true, and I think another element, and this possibly shouldn't be an element, but there's also a lot of, you know how a lot of people who are focused on the Premier League watch other teams because of who they might sign or like their loan players. Like, you're more interested in Marseille because Saliba's playing there, for example.
Yeah,
right. There are a lot of those kind of things, and Ligue 1 has become the place that the Premier League shops because it's the most physical league in Europe in some ways. And so it's the best kind of preparatory ground for a player. If you want to buy a player who's going to adapt to the Premier League, you're going to have far more success buying from Ligue 1 than you are from La Liga. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of people are kind of looking at it in a scouting kind of context as well, which is a bit weird and maybe not necessarily how you want to grow your league, but, you know, it's a thing.
Well, at least the league is growing as opposed to the other direction with the other two leagues, so.
Yeah.
Eric Abidal, who wants to do this one?
Who wants to do this one? That's what he said. Before Eric Abidal, the whole PSG women's story, and I don't know the names, Bernie, if you know the names, fill in the names. But
I think it's Aminata Diallo, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, is it okay if I say Diallo, or is that not her name?
It's Aminata Diallo is her name. You can...
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with Diallo for now because I can't hear exactly what you said. So let's just go with Diallo. We refer to players with their last names all the time, so sure. It's all good. So she was accused of hiring external folk to attack to attack and injure a teammate that plays in her position so that she can get playing minutes. All right? You got to do what you got to do sometimes. So that's what she was accused of. And it ran for like a week and whatever. And then it turns out that she is innocent. And Mbappe,
she might be. We don't, they're not 100%. The police released her from custody with lack of evidence, but it's still being investigated. But okay, to your point, there's a second theory.
So then what happened was, and correct me if I'm wrong here, so the player that got attacked was... Hamraoui, yes. Sounds like there's a North African connection there. She was having Abidal was having an affair with her over his wife.
So, like, she used to play for Barcelona when Abidal was at Barcelona. And when she got beaten up, she obviously went into, like, police, the investigation.
And had to spill it, yeah.
And they found out that her mobile phone was registered to Eric Abidal. So when this comes out, Abidal apparently admits to his wife that he had an affair with this woman. The wife starts divorce proceedings, and now Abidal is posting apologies on Instagram.
Has Abidal not heard about not leaving a paper trail? Like, the number one thing I would do if I was having an affair is not register that woman's phone under my name. Like, literally, you open any book on how to cheat without getting caught, number one, do not register that girl's phone under your name. Like, it's there in every single book. So it's just like, how can you be like this? Like, also, just pay her the money.
Give her the money. But also, like, I know there's a pay disparity, but women's in PSG get paid pretty well. She can pay a fucking phone bill. Like, if she asks, you just have to say no. Like,
just have to say no.
No, but it's not that, is it? It clearly what it was like he bought this phone. And he was like, here, use this.
He's
phone.
He's a burner phone.
Yeah.
Here's a burner phone. Exactly.
Then you burn the phone. You throw it away after you don't need it anymore. Like, this is wild. So hold on. In the context of the attack, is a story that Abidal wanted her killed so he could have his divorce wouldn't go through, or did the wife get mad and try and have her killed? Who did this?
Both things have been suggested, except nothing has been remotely confirmed.
Doesn't matter. And also,
if someone hired people to kill this woman, they did an awful job because they basically just beat her legs, and she's fine.
So we. Either story of the three stories, all of them are hilarious. Like in the context, well, not hilarious for Hamori, like you know, the victim of the beast.
Yeah, like she genuinely went through a traumatic event. Like it's awesome,
either you took a place of your teammate who wants you gone, or you have these the soon to be divorced couple who want to get rid of you for their own reasons. This is hilarious.
Football is a cutthroat business, man. You know, and sometimes it. Okay, let me say this. There's two sides to the story, and I'm only going to say one side. The one side I'm going to say is Abidal's wife is smoking. I'm just going to say that half of the story.
This is not an angle that is required.
I'm just saying that's the. Oh, there's another angle that I'm not going to go into, but that angle. I'm just like, okay.
This is what we're going to do. Yeah. We're going to do a round table. which story do you believe happened? Alex, go.
None of them make any sense. None of them.
You know what? In a crazy twist of events, maybe she... hired, you know, that happens sometimes. You hear about where you hire people to hurt you intentionally for like insurance and stuff. Maybe she did it.
That makes just as much sense as anything else.
Exactly.
Something that just occurred to me. We were talking about does Marseille have a women's team?
I don't know.
Let's go with yes.
Because I feel like their ultras beating up a PSG player is also totally very reasonable. Possible. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm going with Abidal trying to get her whacked off, like. To save his marriage. That's what I'm going with.
How
would that solve his problem? No, I'm sorry, baby. I'll have her killed. Like,
will you forgive me then?
also, like, a month ago, Ander Herrera was kidnapped by a prostitute or something like that.
No, he was not kidnapped.
What was the story?
Rainey, she stole a cell phone. He was not kidnapped by a prostitute. She just leant into the car and stole a phone, okay? Let's not get crazy here. Freaking Herrera got kidnapped by a prostitute.
He was held at knife point. This part I know 100%.
It's not a kidnap, Bernie. That's just, no, I want
but
your
like,
phone.
When, was he dragged off the car at knife point?
Well, he was always dragged out of position. I don't know, man. Listen. But anyways, the point is his wife, Abidal's wife came on Instagram and just went off. She's like, I stood by you with the cancer and I did this and I did that and this is how I get repaid, blah, blah, blah. It was a fun mess. I mean, you know who's not happy? Icardi and Wanda, because the spotlight is not on them anymore.
This is true.
They're gonna do something crazy tomorrow.
You know, I can see why Pochettino wants to leave Paris. I can see it.
Yeah, it's fucking mess. Also, sorry, like I know you've been slighted, Mrs. Abidal, but like bringing up the cancer is a low fucking blow. What, like, oh, I stood by. What were you gonna do? Leave?
Alex, hey, I'm sorry.
Ferdinand did it.
She died, mate.
But he cheated on his wife while she had cancer.
Did he?
Yes, that's the whole point. He cheated on her while she was in like hospital having cancer.
No.
Having cancer, it's not how you say it, but you know what I mean.
Jesus Christ.
Yes, that's the whole point.
I did not know that. Okay. That doesn't change anything, though. what was I going to say? No, she can bring that shit up. She can bring that shit up.
Okay, well, I mean, this episode is clearly going to be titled TMZ something, because... all right, speaking of, you know, beating up and all that stuff, Liverpool beat Arsenal 4-0. Battered them comprehensively. No conspiracy theories there. Very clear what happened. this was a game of two halves, Clive. And in the sense that the first half, we came out of it only 1-0 down and looking okay. I was like, all right, I can see some progress here.
things were fine until Arteta tried to fight Klopp. And then it all went downhill.
Honestly, people love to be all like on their high horse and say, oh, that had nothing to do with it and this game is about tactics. I'm like, nah, mate, I watched the game. The minute that fight broke out, you could see how much faster and stronger and more intense the Liverpool players got. Don't give me this bullshit about, oh, it doesn't, no, it did. They were not happy with it, with him trying to get money, you know, a yellow card or a red card or whatever it was, and they got upset and they were just running a little bit faster. And look, they were going to beat us anyways. And look, I think Arteta should still stand up for himself, blah, 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 all that good stuff. But it did make a difference. Don't give me this whole crap about, oh, this, they're all in the same game. It's all happening. What do you mean it doesn't make a difference?
I think it made a difference. But like, here's the thing, right? People talk about Klopp, tactician. It's not that serious with him. This Liverpool team is ultimate aggression and energy and strange German vibes. That's what this team is. And you angered the shit out of them, and they gave you more pressing, and they gave you more crosses. Like, these are the two things that they do, press and cross. And they were like, oh, really? And they absolutely battered you, like, in that second half. Mane decided, I remember, it could be my team. I'm like, Mane, relax, bro. Like, come on. So I didn't even have to do anything. Like, didn't have to do anything and destroyed you because the rest of them decided, like, fuck off. Like, nah, fam. Nah.
Salah did a weird amount of dribbling straight into it. Arsenal defenders. It was a bit strange. I think he was like quite eager to get on the score sheet for a while. But the whole front three got a goal. Even Minamino got a little goal. So that's how you know your day has gone badly. Like, it was. But here's the thing. Arsenal shot themselves in the foot repeatedly with the playing out from the back and getting pressed. And Lokonga got murked and Maitland-Niles got murked.
Tavares.
He came on. Tavares, yeah. So like, it wasn't so much any kind of, you know, hugely impressive tactical thing from Liverpool. It was really just like, Arsenal are going to do this, and Liverpool are the best team in the league at exploiting it, and it just kept happening.
Also, I don't know why. It seems it has to happen at least once every season, they only play twice, so it has to be once. Whenever you guys play, that someone gets left on their ass on your team. Like, Jota did the slowest fake I've ever seen, and I don't know who it was. It was Tavares or whatever. Like,
Gabriel.
Who was the defender? Just went, woof! I was like, come on, man. Like, this Sol Campbell gif is like, it has to keep happening? What is going on? Firmino did it to you guys last year or the year before. This again, like, it's getting ridiculous. Like, fix it.
Liverpool just love playing us, man. Liverpool love playing us because we show up and we don't give them any sort of respect. We're just like, oh, we're just going to do our thing because we are the 11th best team in the league. So
we are the Arsenal.
Yeah. Anyways, I think, look, it's weird to say that we lost 4-0, but I'm still, like, a little bit, like, I was a little bit optimistic even at the end of it in the sense that, like, it was a different 4-0 than the other ones.
It's a different 4-0 that could have been 6 if Ramsdale didn't decide to do a layman at times in this game. Like, it's weird to be like positive about a game that could literally end in 6-0.
It's weird, man. You know what it is? I honestly think it's the first half. Like, the second half, I'm kind of writing off because it was a 15-minute blitz where, like, yes, the inexperience showed and it was individual mistakes. You know, Tavares gave the ball and it just felt like the first half, we just don't have the experience or consistency to play that way the entire game. But I just felt, you know what? Not bad for the big first 45 minutes. And we hadn't conceded a goal from a free kick. We could have gotten in at 0-0, tried to keep it tight. But I think that goal in the 40th minute just kills a team when you concede so close to halftime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's Arsenal's next game?
Newcastle.
Perfect. Excellent opportunity to bounce back.
Yeah, or an opportunity to be, like I said, Arsenal football charity. You know, and be like, oh, you know, break all the records. Newcastle haven't done this in this long. Well, do it now. Oh, Newcastle hasn't done this in this long. Okay, do it now. You know,
I will say Newcastle did look. They drew 3-3 with Brentford. They did look better than they've been before. Going forward, still just a shambles at the back. Going forward, they were better.
I didn't even watch this game, and I heard people be like, yeah, you know what, Newcastle. Like, there's a Newcastle fan in my other group chat, the only one I know. And like, he was like, oh, we haven't looked this good in years. I looked at the score. I'm like, 3-3? Are you sure?
It's true, though.
Are you really sure?
Does he ever have a shirt on? That's the question.
He's the most annoying guy I know, so probably not. like legitimately the most annoying guy I know in this world.
Is it Mike Ashley? But yes, I would say...
His name is Michael, by the way.
Oh, there we go. I would say there's going
to
be...
to the pod is the obvious next question.
Absolutely never.
All right, that's good. I'm just going to say that I think we're going to break some records here. Like, I think Willick hasn't scored in like 17 years, but he's going to score, you know, on Saturday morning. There's all these good things happening. But it's also, like Alex said, it's a good opportunity to bounce back in theory. But we also know that in theory, Arsenal don't do a lot by the book or by the logic. So anything can happen here. Also, I would like a striker that scores goals in my club. It just make football a little bit more fun. You know, just a little bit. If my team that I support and watch week in, week out had a striker that can score goals, it would just elevate my experience in life just a little bit.
It's an awful lot to ask, man.
Yeah, yeah, I know, right? It's too much. I get it. And I know I'm reaching for the stars here, but it would just be nice if Edu or someone responsible could just give us a striker that can score a goal.
Is there one you have an eye on?
No, it's not my job. Let's go freaking get a striker.
You want Vlahovic? What do you mean?
I don't care. I'll take him. Bro, the bar is so low. He's like a bit faster Giroud. Like, he just is.
I want Osimhen.
Well, his face is broken.
Yeah, well. It'll be fine by the summer.
Go for Darwin Nunez at Benfica. That's probably what you can get.
That's very rude, Bernie.
I'm just being
also
honest.
Also, I'm going to say, I'm going to take an Alex Ferguson stance here and say, I cannot afford to lose all the African players every 2 years in the most important part of the season. So let's like diversify a little bit because we're losing like four.
Who? That is true.
Elneny, Partey, Pepe, Aubameyang. Is Pepe no Pepe? Yeah, Pepe, Aubameyang. Like, come on, man.
Is he Belgian or is he
Belgian?
Okay.
Like, okay, here's a question, Bernie. You ask where's Lokonga from, and then you go, is he Belgian? That means you knew that.
No, it was like, I knew that he came from Belgium, like a club.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of those Africans who maybe didn't get to play for Belgium. But then again, I realized Belgium's not very good. So, like, Martinez would probably draft him in anyway.
I think he could represent DRC if he wanted to. I think.
Okay.
But. Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, yeah, King Leopold would not be happy.
Well, fuck that guy. City beat Everton 3-0. I mean, Everton are in total shambles. But I really, all I took from this game was the Cancelo assist.
The highlight of that game is me captaining Cancelo in FPL.
How many times have you told us what a genius move that was already?
Like 17 times, because everybody goes for Salah and he did a little bit, but Cancelo got me like 20 points on his own from captaining him. And oh, that assist was beautiful. And Sterling, you know, I would say he meant that 70%.
Yeah.
But I'll still give it to him so he can have it. But yeah, Cancelo is just, it's incredible what he's doing from that left side. He's the best left. Like, again, it's not even his position, and he's the best left back in the world. Like, it's crazy.
I know it's kind of dodgy talking about these things from an FPL point of view, but for the last few weeks, Trent, James, and Cancelo have knocked this out of the park.
Guess who has all three in the back of his lineup?
They're scoring goals, they're assisting, they're getting clean sheet. Like, they're just killing it.
I hate Mane so much. I hate him so much.
I got like 70 points this match game, and like 30 of them were from those three guys, or like more. It's crazy.
A bit more. Congrats, fucking.
Hey, I'm 14th in our league. You guys are like on page two. I need like a bigger data plan to see where you are.
Excuse me. Page do not three, lump us all correct. Into the same boat.
Page three of the sun. Oh boy. All right.
I'm Europa League. Bernie is firmly in the relegation zone.
Bernie's Newcastle. A lot of money, but nothing to do with it.
There are 89 teams, okay? I'm not that far down. I'm in Conference League, please. Have some respect.
Okay. Watford 4, Man United 1. I mean, we've talked about the managerial situation, but this was hilarious.
I mean, this is with a penalty missed.
Twice.
Where's Pep when you need him?
I was so glad that Ismail Assar scored a good goal, because I just felt, I mean, they were terrible penalties, both of them, but I felt so bad. I like that kid.
Oh, it was, yeah, such a bad performance. And it's a bad performance that they actually could have won if a certain somebody decided to do his fucking job, which he only does in the Champions League, apparently. But do it, you know, thou who shall not be named, do it in the Premier League. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, how many did he miss? This is absolutely ridiculous. And then Maguire decided to literally be a fridge.
Did he get a red card this game? Or am I making that up?
He got a red card in this game. Got a red card in this game.
Yeah, like 6 minutes apart, wasn't it? The yellows?
Something weird like that. It was like, you know, like deer in headlights, where he's like, what the hell do I do now? Okay, I'm going to dribble it out. Oh no. Like,
It's the most popular thing in the sport. Kick it. Kick it.
Yeah. He really could have done anything else with what he did there, and he got sent off.
Literally, the sport comprises of like 90% kicking the ball. Just do that.
I mean, you and Micah Richards are on the same page. He was on the radio last night, and he did one of those classic ex-footballer things where he was just like, go back to basics. If you're a defender, head it and kick it.
Honestly, it would help Maguire a lot right now. If he could just head it and kick it.
Like in the Champions League today, like I watched him, and he refused to try and like do anything complicated. He's like, this ball, I'm battering it all the way over there. It was actually hilarious. Well, and he's like, literally, don't pass me the ball. Like, it was so funny.
This is why you get the Denzel Washington training day clips of, you know, Ole Solskjaer watching the game, and then it's just like, you motherfuckers.
You did this to me?
Yeah, exactly. Where is the dribbling now? Yeah, I think that was obviously the nail in the coffin for Ole. Well, actually, the nail in the coffin for Ole was when you sacked him and then put him in front of the camera and made him cry. Mate, that was good.
I cannot believe he agreed to do that.
Yeah, I can't.
He asked to do that.
He's so emotional and soft, and this is why it will never work out for him. Mate, did you hear the funny story? And I don't know if it's true or not, but apparently, and this is, you know, not for sure, but I think it's funny. Molde players, when he moved to United, took out all the United players from the FPL because they're like, you're going to stink.
Wow.
Honestly, it came up as news, and I don't know if it's true, but imagine.
That wouldn't make any sense, like especially statistically when they did very well FPL-wise. Like, no.
I'm just saying.
I hope it's true.
Yeah.
It's probably not.
I mean, they went on an immediate, like, 13-game winning run, though, didn't they? Like,
Bruno, penalties. Oh, so yeah, so United got, what, 20 penalties in 2017 and 18 and 19 and whatever, and then, what, one penalty this year? Maybe that has something to do with it, Bernie.
I'll tell you why. Because Ronaldo. I got time.
Yeah.
It's literally Cristiano Ronaldo. The way that the team plays does not allow you to run into the box. Like, do you remember when, like, my United were getting pounced and you were like, oh, VAR, you bought the refs. They haven't even had one VAR review.
Right? Yeah, because you got in the box.
Because no one is getting into the box. They're not pressing high because they can't press high. And they're not releasing the ball into the box. And no one's running into the box because you can't. Because Ronaldo is sitting on top of Rashford's face on the left. And the guy is not holding up the ball to bring in runners at all. I don't give a shit how many goals he scores. He is the reason why this team doesn't play well in attack at all. So I think people can take that one to the bank.
I think our listeners just have a punctured eardrum.
Don't worry, I'm the producer. I can bring myself down.
I agree with every word. Just sorry, while we're slagging off Manchester United, Mo, you'll love this.
new segment on the pod.
Yeah. So you know the Ole and the Alex Ferguson parking spot thing, right?
I love it.
Well, Carrick currently said that he asked Ole if he could take the job. What is this?
And then
like?
They cried about it in the interview and said how he's a great guy.
He asked evil people.
He said he called Ole and he asked if it was okay if he took the job because he felt that was the right thing to do.
The first person I talked to was Ole. That's all he said.
He asked. I can pull up the article right
now,
buddy.
He did. He said, while he was crying, it's just hard to hear him with all the tears. He said, Michael called me and I said, you did do great. I gave him my blessing, blah, blah, blah.
That's not even what Ole said. He said, you'll be fine. Michael Carrick is top. And then he started crying.
Here we go. The first person.
I can't. It's just one sentence in football ends with a minute. He starts crying.
comes and he left. And he, why can't he cry? Fuck you guys.
He can cry. There's in private. Wrong with that. Just why are you doing it on your exit interview?
Because the fans still love him and he wants to talk to them and they're still singing his name because he's a legend. It's okay. You don't have legends. You don't know what this
I'm
means.
I'm just saying, man, this is the first time I've ever seen a manager kind of give a press conference after he's been sacked unequivocally by the club. But anyways, it's good.
You should just go on Cameo like everyone else.
Yeah. All right, we've been rambling on for an hour. Yeah, is there anything else?
Well, the new manager bounce was firmly in effect. So you got Norwich got a win with Dean Smith. Villa got a win with Gerrard. Spurs got a win with Conte. So that's all good. Wolves beat West Ham. Bruno Lage is quietly doing a very, very good job.
Yeah.
They're a bit boring, though, this year. They're a bit boring.
They're always boring.
They had a season. They had a season where they were like a team to watch.
Yeah, but Pedro Neto has been injured forever, and they kind of miss that guy.
Yeah, and they think bringing in like another short Latin guy in Podence is going to do it, but it didn't. So
yeah,
it won't last long.
Okay. And then Chelsea just battered Leicester like it weren't no thing.
Like because season it isn't a thing. Like Leicester are horrible. And speaking of AFCON, Daka, Iheanacho, Ndidi, Amartey, I don't know if he matters or not, but whatever. Pretty much they're all gone.
No wonder Rodgers wants to leave, yeah. Jesus.
Goodbye, Leicester.
Goodbye, Leicester. Okay. I mean, Leeds are, what, 17th or something this season? They're not doing very well.
Yeah, I love it. I'd love it.
Yeah. Also, what I would love is that all the Saudi money was in the championship next season. I would love that. That would be just so sweet.
If what?
All the Saudi money was in the championship with Newcastle next year.
Oh, it would be phenomenal.
Like, imagine buying a club for that much and pouring in all that money and then playing in the championship.
I mean, they've be got good for the world. Fucking points.
It would be good for the Sunderland documentary. Are Sunderland even in the championship?
No.
The League One?
They messed it up in the end, I think, in the playoffs.
Spoiler alert. But maybe, you know, it'll be exciting to see who's on their list of signings for the summer. You know, maybe a cheeky Lewandowski.
I thought his name was Cheeky Bergerstein.
Well, it was like last time when they had Zlatan and the dude was like, why is Zlatan on this list?
Yeah.
The other idiot was like, well, we just wanted to give you different ranges. We're like, you're an idiot. Get out.
Yeah. It was like Zlatan, Ainsley Maitland-Niles on loan, or like Lee Catterball.
Well, you know when you talk to like consultants and stuff, and they always say, hey, give me three options, you know, realistic, conservative, and optimistic. Yeah. It's like, yeah, mate, but like there's levels of optimistic.
Anyway. Just sensational.
Oh, but to be fair, the Arsenal documentary is going to be banging this season. I think it's going to be great with the ups and downs and everything going on. I can't wait.
Yeah, the season needs to kind of culminate in something, though.
Did you guys see Josh Kroenke at the Adele thing?
What?
No.
Josh Kroenke was front and center, literally seat number one, the best seat in the house. And there was a clip of him dancing and grooving to Adele. I was like, wow, okay.
Does he know she's a Spurs fan?
Does he know
what Spurs
anything?
Are? Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone said, no wonder all her songs are about sad, like sad and loneliness.
Yep. Right.
Oh, good.
Well, if I know this is completely ludicrous, but you know, if they won something and they wanted a singer instead of Andrea Bocelli, you'd have.
Oh, Adele. It would be really nice to have Adele there to sing as the Carabao Cup gets unveiled at the new Tottenham Stadium, because that's the extent at what they're going to win. So
that'd be box office.
It would be like an amazing attendance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello. Trophy.
Is it me you're looking for? No, that's another
song. Just on one side of the pitch.
I was
singing,
wondering
hello
when next
from
I
the
would.
Other side.
and then if they beat Chelsea in the final, it could be like water under the bridge.
Oh,
we're getting somewhere. We're getting somewhere with this.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. In fact, she should have been singing when they were building the stadium, because then the scaffold.
Scaffold. Scaffold.
So when someone dives, she goes, rolling in the deep.
Lying playmaker.
Okay, yeah. This is what the listeners don't want to hear.
Every time Kane dives, you just hear rolling in the deep. Anyways, oh, I think we know we're at the end of the podcast.
Yeah.
I think we know deep down. Mm.
Pretty much.
Kind of makes it tempting to just keep.
Right? Just, you know, like we always do a secret buzzword, you know, like watermelon, and then see who types it up on Twitter. We know who the real OGs are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tweet watermelon at us. Yeah, just, you know what to do.
Yeah, tweet watermelon at us and we'll know. It'll be between us. Don't explain it. Just tweet watermelon.
All right. Goodbye, Red Fox.
Watermelon. All right, lads.
Bye.
Ciao.
Thank you for downloading the Koshcast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.